You're listening to the Gospel for Planet Earth podcast.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to the Gospel for Planet Earth podcast. I'm your host, Carl Gessler. At least it's morning where I am as I'm recording. It's actually a beautiful morning. The sun is coming up. It is supposed to be up in, well, it's supposed to get up to about 60 today, but in the 70s for the next few days, actually for the next week. So that is something, that's some good news. And this podcast is about good news, a challenging subject, actually, in the midst of lots and lots of bad news. But the good news about the good news is that this good news doesn't change. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is alive from the dead. We're celebrating that. We're learning, trying to walk in that. And that's really what today's podcast is about, trying to walk in the light of the resurrection in spite of all the death around us. And I don't just mean death. I mean, I think you'll hear today, as we're going to have an interview that I recorded last week today with my friend Eugene Bach, there's more than the death toll that we're hearing about right now. There's more than that, I think, that's going on right now, although it's really tough to navigate. There are tons of opinions. There's tons of fear. And then in the reality, at the end of the day, I think we are all just guessing and we're at the mercy of something that's bigger than us. There's an evil thing that's happening in the world, whether you want to call it natural evil or the manipulation power games of men. I think it's probably a little bit or a lot of both. But whatever the case, at the end of the day, we are standing at the mercy of God and asking for his mercy, asking for him to step into the situation and calm our sea. At least I hope that's what we are doing. Maybe you're not because you aren't yet a follower of Jesus, but if you are a follower of Jesus, this is a time to make sure Jesus is not asleep on our boat when we think we're sinking, when we're about to die. Anyway, so today I have a special interview that I did with my friend Eugene Bach. Eugene works with Back to Jerusalem. It's a missions movement organization that seeks to support Chinese missionaries who are going into some of the most unreached places in the world with the gospel. And Eugene is a very interesting guy. He's been on the podcast multiple times. He has a background in our military doing special operations with the Marine Forces. So that's an interesting aspect that he brings. But also, he has worked very closely and is working very closely with missionaries from China and in China, and has had more access to what was going on inside China when this whole coronavirus thing broke out there. So he has that unique perspective. And today we have it's a very intense conversation. This also took place last week. And I do have a bit of an addendum, anyway, a little correction, if that's the right way to put it. I just want to say a little bit more. I make a comment in this conversation about the government and its disregard of the church. And I want to make a slight correction on that and add a few thoughts on that, because this is a week later and just, yeah, we're all trying to process this at lightning speed with nothing else to do except stare at our computers and hear the latest bad news. But anyway, hopefully this is today will be encouraging and invigorating and will re-inspire you to faith if you have been discouraged, maybe to take your eyes off the waves today and put your eyes on the Messiah who is for us, behind us, and laying his hand upon us. He is already victorious, so let's have hope in that. So here is our conversation with Eugene Bach. Okay, well, we've got Eugene Bach on the line. Eugene, welcome back to the Gospel for Planet Earth.
Hey, brother, it's great to be with you, and I am doing my podcast at the same time, so we are making the most of this hour of doing podcast and podcast. Yeah, no, we got your listeners listening for Back to Jerusalem, and our Back to Jerusalem listeners listening to your podcast, so love it.
That's awesome. I enjoy your podcast, and I've enjoyed listening to it recently, particularly because for those of my listeners who don't know, you've spent a lot of time in China where the coronavirus began, and I recently listened to your episode with Brother Chris, who was also inside China when this whole thing broke out. And very interesting to hear about what was going on there. There's so much to talk about on this, but I would really love to hear your perspective on some things today, having come from China. Just off the bat, and I know this isn't really where you want to go with this, so I'll back off and let you do this, but I did want to ask, like, do you know, we hear so much right now from the news media about what's happening here in America, who's dying, and who's dying in Italy, but knowing that this began in China, what's happening in China? Are people dying left and right, or what's going on in China now with the coronavirus?
Only the good Lord knows. The truth is that we have numbers, we have the data that's, you know, come out of China, but that, and there's two sides to this, right? There's the side of, you got one part that's like, I will not believe in fear. I will not believe in fear. I will not believe in fear. It's like, dude, you understand faith is not the same as ignorance, right? Faith is under every single battle that we see in the Bible, the enemy is measured. We're given the exact measurements for Goliath. We're given the exact measurements for the Philistines. We're given the exact measurements even for those that will go to battle in the Battle of Armageddon. So faith, it does not require you to be ignorant. Faith is also not a positive thinking mantra, right? It's not looking into the mirror saying, I'm great, I'm good, everybody likes me. I just did this in a podcast not too long that, no, dude, you're not great, you're not good, and nobody likes you. You are dead. You're a dead man. Jesus lives inside of you. You have to be crucified on the cross every single day. So Christ in you can conquer all, but you no longer exist. You, the id, the person who makes up your ego, is being crucified on a daily basis. So faith is not positive thinking. It's not a mantra that you say in front of the mirror to be able to get yourself psyched up so that you can go ask your boss for a raise, right? I don't know, if probably most of your podcast listeners are a little bit too holy to watch The Office, but I like to watch The Office every now and then. I need practice in asking God to forgive me for my sins. So I have watched The Office, and there's this guy is very well known. His name is Dwight. And whenever Dwight goes and asks for a raise, right, he always does this air guitar thing. He listens to this hard rock music to be able to get himself motivated. Like, he'll kick the air. He punches the air. He plays an air guitar to get himself psyched up to go and ask for a raise. I think oftentimes people are like, yeah, this is what I need to do for the gospel. No, you don't. That's not faith. Faith is looking at the reality on the ground, but knowing that God is greater. Knowing that with all of the data that you have in front of you, you are too small to conquer that. That only Christ is the one that can defeat the enemy. And at the end of the day, when the enemy is defeated, you can look back on that data and say, it was not there. The numbers were not there. There's no human way that I should have been able to do this. Mm-hmm. When we look outside of China, we have at least today, you and I are doing this podcast around the 23rd of March. There's 3,270 people that have died. Now, there's two sides to this. One side is like, okay, ignore those numbers. Don't share anything. That only brings us down. Those are bummer numbers. You don't share bummer numbers with people that you're trying to build up faith. Then you got another side that's all like embracing conspiracy all over the place. And they're like, dude, China's burning hundreds of thousands of bodies out back in incineraries. And it's much more than that. I will say this. I don't believe China's numbers. I believe that China has more people that have died than what China's emitting. I believe that China has more people with the coronavirus than they are admitting. So the numbers that are inside of China so far that we have seen are not overwhelming in the way that many of the churches that I work with, the overwhelming majority of the churches have not had anybody get the virus in Wuhan.
Whoa.
We have 28 Christians that I know of now, that had the virus.
Now, let me ask you, is that because they're not going out in public?
No, I cannot tell you what the reason is. I can just tell you that they've been doing everything that everybody else has. Okay. And in fact, they've made themselves more vulnerable to catch the virus. Mm-hmm. So we know that, for instance, 28 people that I did know about that got the virus that were believers, they got the virus, we think, because they were arrested and detained by the police for handing out aid that we gave to them. They were handing out aid on the streets while preaching the gospel, and they were arrested by the police. Their aid was confiscated. While in detention, they were exposed to a lot of different bacteria without proper sanitation. They didn't have gloves. They couldn't wash their hands. They were touching items that everybody and their brother was probably, you know, touching with their hands, rubbing with their butts. Who knows what was on those doorknobs and, you know, all of the things, the guardrails and the handrails that these guys were touching. So 28 people that were arrested got the coronavirus. However, I never got any information about them dying. So I assume, and I'm only making this assumption because I haven't heard anything, that they have recovered from the virus. So I don't know of any Christian believer in Wuhan that has died from the virus. I'm not saying it does, they don't exist. I'm just saying that I have a lot of different contacts from different networks inside of Wuhan, and I have no information on anybody dying in those fellowships. And they made themselves exposed when they went out to the streets, preached the gospel, and handed out aid. There are many that did that, that did not get arrested, and they did not get coronavirus. So the coronavirus is something that we need to take very seriously from what we've seen inside of China, but it's not the Armageddon. I don't believe that this is the end of the world, because I don't believe that this is a virus. This is not like leprosy. There's a real one for you. That will eat the flesh right off the bone. One of the beautiful things about the coronavirus is it seems that children are not getting it at all. In fact, I'm doing this podcast from Sweden. They haven't even stopped primary schools. So primary schools are still going here in Sweden.
Wow. So I didn't mean, we actually, as we're recording this one, we had just finished doing a podcast together. And maybe I jumped the gun on the way this conversation is going. I know you had mentioned doing this podcast based on one of my social media posts. You want to go back to that and just tell me, because I'm interested if, because I've been posting a lot, probably more than what's healthy, but you know, I've been very threatened and alarmed by the way our government has handled this whole situation. And then I saw you commented on it, and I'd be interested to hear if you have pushback from what I'm saying, or if maybe you have something to confirm. I don't know, but I know that that's kind of what instigated this episode in the first place. Can you go over that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that actually we didn't go in a different direction at all. I think that that was a great base to kind of start off with this Back to Jerusalem podcast, because the thing is that when we look at the coronavirus, right, it is something that is deadly. It is something that we should try to avoid. It is something that we need to be cautious about, no doubt about it. And governments around the world are taking extreme measures to protect their citizens. Good thing. But the most deadly part about this virus that I have seen inside of China is that the Chinese have implemented new monitoring techniques, strategies, and implemented them into law that I do not believe will ever leave. I believe that the Chinese took advantage, so the Chinese government, now, so I'm going to start with China first, but then I want to start shifting over to America. Completely different animal altogether. And that's where I would lean more on kind of your thoughts. But if I look at what, you know, the virus started in China, the outbreak started in China. We were dealing with this, you know, a month before the rest of the world, more than a month before the rest of the world. What I have seen is that this virus presented the enemy with an amazing opportunity to do two things. One, I don't think we have time to talk about right now, which is the stopping of the spread of the gospel, which has done more in the last decade than it has in the last 200 years. We have seen more missionaries go into unreached areas and more of God's message getting into unreached message, God's message getting into unreached areas than we have in the last two decades. So there's been amazing results, and they are happening at a very rapid rate, especially when we start talking about China and Iran. That freaks the enemy out. So I think the coronavirus is a great pandemic to give the enemy some breathing room, because I think he's freaking out right now. He's losing territory. at a rapid, rapid rate. But that's another discussion. The second part, which I think is even more deadly than the virus itself, is what China has implemented. And so we have seen these draconian measures that have been put onto society inside of China to monitor people, not just Christians, people in general, in ways that they've never been monitored before, giving up freedoms of movement that they've never given up before, relinquishing their ability to communicate in ways that they never have before, giving up the ability to congregate in ways that they never have before. I thought it wasn't possible. Wuhan is almost on a level that we see in North Korea. I have a better chance of getting Bibles into North Korea today than I do getting Bibles into Wuhan. That's a big change in only 2 months. Why? Because the coronavirus hit, the government was given new powers, and people were happy to give the government those powers to protect them from the coronavirus. So now we see the rest of the world is now suffering from the same disease that was spreading so rapidly among the Chinese. And I think many people saw it happening inside China, worried about it coming to them, but didn't really think. I mean, a month ago, did you see the entire world shut down in a way that it never has? I didn't see it coming. Airports shut down, schools shut down, restaurants shut down around the world. Freeways that are usually bumper to bumper traffic, empty. Cities that never sleep, vacant. So now I turn to you, an American, a Christian, used to certain freedoms that Christians put in place for future generations of Christians so that the government would not impose on their personal beliefs. Where do you see America going?
I am not a conspiracy theorist in the sense of, and not that I don't believe in conspiracies, but I am not one of those people that believe that.
Darn it! You're taking all the fun off. You can't start with that. I need you to be a conspiracy theorist. That's where the juicy stuff comes from.
I hate the juicy stuff. No, I don't believe in five people in a secret room somewhere pulling the levers. I do believe in basic principles that the Lord has created the world with, and in my life, Psalm 37:8 is a huge verse, and it just gets bigger the longer I live, which is, do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. And, you know, I've been accused of not taking this seriously enough. As a matter of fact, I posted yesterday, I posted a short thing that said, it takes, we have to produce medicine. So, you know, who will help me produce this medicine, said the little red hen. Not I, said the general scared public. And, you know, someone said to me from that, it's like, well, what about, you know, when I got more informed about this situation, then I changed my opinion on it. And maybe what you should say is, who will help me understand this pandemic? Not I, said the Facebook warrior. And I get that pushback. I understand it. But what I'm getting at with that comment is that if we shut down production, if we shut down our whole economy, we're going to destroy our nation, and no one will be able to produce anything like medicine or anything else. And I think that the fear, and what I want to say to this person, which I don't get into Facebook debates because I don't find that terribly productive on my end, and it just kind of over involves me in it. But what I want to say is, when you say you got more informed and you think that now it's a these are good measures, what you're saying, what I hear is, you looked at the waves that everyone else is looking at, and now you're scared too. And, like, you know, I agree that this isn't anything. I'm not happy about the coronavirus. I will not say that I haven't had any fears about it. You know, I live on my wife's parents' property, and I love them. They're very close to me, and I'm just like, well, I don't want to bring that home to them and have them threatened by this. Because obviously, as a middle-aged person, I'm not as worried about the health part of it. You know, when we react in fear, when I react in fear, and I've wrestled with fear all my life, I make bad decisions. I'm a bad parent when I react in fear. I make poor business decisions when I react in fear. I argue with my wife when I react in fear. And, you know, so when we do that as a nation, and that's what I do see happening, that the whole country is panicked, and that panic has been fed by the media. And now I believe our politicians are responding to the people, because we are a government by the people, for the people, by the people, and the people are freaking out. And the politicians are desperately trying to make sure that they don't get put on the hook if their city or their state has more fatal casualties than someone else. They don't want to look like they didn't take enough precautions. So everyone is trying to cover their butt, and we're all, as a nation, we're just reacting in fear, and I don't think fear is of God. So I don't know if that's too long of an answer, but
no. One of the things that I love that you wrote this, and this is kind of one of the things that I wanted to ask you about. This in one of your posts that you did on Facebook, which is a holy document, and I know that you took a long time to formulate this. You wrote the right to assembly, the right to private property, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Freedom of speech should all be added to the casualties of the coronavirus.
Right.
And I thought that the reason I thought that that was, I wanted to do a podcast with you on that, because that really is having foresight. Mm-hmm. When you react in fear, you do just that. You're reactive, right? Mm-hmm. Faith allows us to be proactive. Faith allows us to rise above the fear of the moment, knowing that there is an answer on the other side. That I have the problems, I have the mountains in my life, no doubt about that. But I look unto the mountains, not focusing on the mountains, but beyond the mountains where my help comes from.
Yeah.
And so what I see here when you're writing this is that there is some proactive thought that I appreciate. I brought my family out of the environment that I saw going south. Not because I was afraid, but because early I was able to be in a place where God, I feel, he didn't come down at night and speak in my ear and give me a dream and I reacted on it. It was a matter of me, I believe, just having God give me forethought, of being able to plan ahead, of being able to look not in fear, but just be able to plan ahead and take steps to protect my family. But also knowing that in the future, the enemy never lets a good disaster go to waste. And that in China, we have seen life, liberty, and happiness basically regulated inside of China using this pandemic. And people, I would rather quote the Bible than Star Wars, but there is an episode where I think her name's Padme or something like that. I'm not a Star Wars geek, so I don't know all the episodes, but there's this big congregation of all the main representatives from the universe are together. And this leader basically has everybody give up the power of the Senate. And it's because of a time of fear. And everybody claps because there is a savior that comes, promises that he can deliver them from this hardship. They don't have to worry about it. They just give him the temporary power. So the Senate releases their power to give one single person all of the power in order to rule, to be able to help them through this trying time. And I think her name is Padme, says, so this is how freedom is lost, by the applause of the masses. So I see that when you wrote that, I could identify with it in the way that there are people wanting the government to take extreme measures, and many of them are wanting to give up their freedom or willing to give up their freedoms in order to be protected.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I see, I just want to continue this out really quick. One of the things that I see is that the enemy has been trying so hard for generations to take over. We see it inside of China with Mao Zedong. He took away the freedoms of the believers and tried to crush the believers by bringing about science. in implementing atheism as government religion in communist China. Communism and atheism are inseparable. And so there was this idea that religion is the opiate of the masses and it holds people down. In order to give everybody freedom, we need to get rid of all religion, bring about atheism for everybody. In order to be in the Communist Party, you have to be a sworn atheist. And if you're not a sworn atheist, you are persecuted inside of China, especially in the 1950s. And so you gave up those freedoms. Well, this idea of, you know, the 1% against the 99% really didn't turn out the way that the rest of the world wanted it to turn out. So people gave up the freedoms and it was a botch. And now there's been this new, okay, so communism isn't working. So there's been this, and I know that I'm going to offend a lot of people, but there's been almost this socialistic communist element embracing atheism that is a spirit that is behind a lot of the global warming fear, which also uses fear mongering. Mm-hmm. That we have, if we want to save the future, what do we have to do? The same thing the communists did. All the people have to give up their rights to one person. He'll lead us through this tragic situation. That hasn't been working the way that they want it to. But now I can see this pandemic being one of the tools that the enemy could easily use, where people willingly give up their freedoms to one central power that would be anti-Christ and try to squelch the movement and fellowship of the church. Where am I wrong?
Yeah, I want to lean on the side of hope and solutions in these things, because I agree with you. I mean, actually, just to finish this point, I do see, you know, the communist mindset here in America being revealed in the fact that church services were basically banned because of the coronavirus, because what our government is saying is the church is cute, but when it comes to real issues, we'll handle this, and we don't want you getting together. We don't really think that there's value in you getting together, and a lot of us are sadly agreeing, but because what we're saying is the church, you know, the church is traditional, the church is cute, but when we really need a savior, let's let the government take charge. And I think that's a major problem. And it is shows an atheistic heart at the core of it. So that I do have a problem with that. And I think many Americans are prone to see this as the end of the world as well. American Christians, I should say, to kind of throw up their hands and say prophecy is being fulfilled and this is the beginning of Armageddon and blah, blah, blah. And that's not where I fall on these things. And I want to push back against that because I want to say, well, the answer right now is not, well, let's revive the Republican Party. Let's become more dogmatic in our conservative values. The answer right now, I think, is faith over fear. And that is not a political party. No one has no one has rights to that. Everyone has rights to that, maybe is a better way to say to that. We are all called to trust the Lord right now. And it really, what this is revealing to me is that faith in Jesus is really the foundation of freedom. And we've said this, we've known this about our country for years and years, that we are a Christian country. We are a Christian country based on the fear of God, particularly the fear of the God we know in the person of Jesus. And that has been, I believe, and you've talked about this many times, but that is the foundation of our fruitfulness as a nation. And we've also talked together recently about revival. You've written a book about chasing revival, you know, reviving things that have fallen dead. This is a time to remember the Jesus that has blessed us in the past and not surrender our freedoms, you know, and our founding fathers talked about this. You can either have freedom or you can have security. And actually, the one who goes for security will get neither. And right now, we are leaning. I think we are just, we have not had enough adversity to have the character to choose faith right now. You had a quote actually in your book. I think it's a Chinese proverb, and forgive me if I butcher this, but I think it says, calamity is born out of prosperity, and prosperity is born out of calamity, something to that effect. And I think that right now we are unfortunately giving birth to calamity based on our prosperity because we haven't had the character to support the prosperity. And right now, I just want to say, we need to practice faith. And I speak this from personal experience. So I'm a musician, and I've written a number of songs, and I've realized over time that so many of my songs have to do with fear, overcoming fear, because I am I'm a number one on the personality test. So like I take responsibility seriously, but I also look ahead, which is helpful, but I also look ahead and get afraid because I can see things coming. And so it's been my journey of faith to resist fear. And that's one of the reasons we've traveled across the country as a family without the financial backing to do it, just trusting the Lord because I want to go in the opposite spirit of fear. And I've seen the Lord be so faithful. Just recently, one of the times we talked recently, we were out in Seattle, and I don't remember if it was before or after we had gone to Alaska, but I had my family of seven, five kids and my wife and I, flying to Alaska. We spent all our money to get there. We had nothing, zero left, and we weren't even sure when we were in the airport if we'd have a place to stay or a car to drive when we landed at 10:30 at night in Alaska. And I was scared. I knew, you know, everything in me wanted to run the other way. Everything in me was saying, Carl, you're a dope. This is stupid. This is foolish. People are going to say, what kind of idiot takes his family on a plane, to fly thousands of miles from his home without any money? And I knew all those voices, and I acted anyway. I continued. It was like white-knuckled faith, singing childhood songs from Salty the Singing Songbook, scripture songs to myself to keep myself calm and just to keep going forward. And, you know, the Lord met us there. We had a car waiting for us. We had a hotel room someone paid for. We went and sang where we were going to sing. Someone gave us $100. While we were there, someone sent us money from a friend who didn't even know about our situation, sent us $250. We made it home. We had money pouring out of our pockets comparatively by the time we got home from that trip. And I know the sense. I know what fear feels like, and I can recognize it. And I've made a habit of my life of saying, I'm going the other direction. And I see our nation, I recognize what fear looks like, and I see our nation just succumbing to it, and it grieves me a lot. So that was more than maybe you asked for, but I just felt like giving that personal side of it is important, that this isn't, I'm not just being, using bravado saying here, everybody be brave, go to work anyway. And there's no real risk. I know there's risks, but life is risk. And freedom, we say it all the time on our bumper stickers, freedom isn't free. And we have to act. And we can still do that no matter how oppressive it gets. If America becomes like China, the solution, as you know, and maybe you can testify to this, but what the church in China is doing is being bold and obedient anyway, and they suffer for it. But the end result is that it's bearing fruit. Would you agree with that? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something I think was really something I want to seize on just for a moment, because you said something I think was really important. And I just want to pause there because you said, I don't know if we have the character to make the right decisions during this hard time. And there's a quote that I heard not too long ago. I really love it. I think it's really true. We see it throughout the Bible, throughout the entire Old Testament Bible. And that is this, there's a cycle. And the cycle is calamity creates, or bad times create good men. Good men create good times. Good times create bad men. Bad men create bad times. So there's this cycle that kind of goes through. And I think what you were referring to is that we've had a time in the U.S. of good times, and it's created a lot of questionable characters. And so there has been this lack of stress, this lack of challenge, this lack of adversity that has, if the proverb is correct, which I believe history shows that it is, has created individuals that have a lack of character. And but out of this calamity could also come a new generation that is stronger than ever. And one of the things that I am actually going to be doing a podcast later on today with a pastor from San Diego, Pastor Mark, who is defying the California law and keeping his church open. You just alluded to it a little bit earlier. And I want to touch on that because I think this is so important to understand. If a church decides that this is the safe thing to do for my congregation, then dude, more power to you. But if you are doing this because you have a fear that you will be fined by the government or might find yourself in trouble with the law and the authorities, then I think that we might have to reevaluate the reason why you make certain choices. Our base, so our base has been for many years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. One of our, I can almost say it's almost like a Back to Jerusalem home church, is a church called Cornerstone in Baton Rouge. And right down the street from them is this massive church called Life Tabernacle. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
Life Tabernacle Church. Okay, so there's a church called Life Tabernacle in Baton Rouge. And the pastor there is a pastor by the name of Tony Spell. And he had the police show up at his church because he had the gall, the audacity to have church on Sunday. And the governor said, don't do it. Do not open your church. Tony Spell said, Pastor Tony Spell, I listened to an interview with him earlier, said, I don't have a choice, because this is not like you were talking about. So many people feel that, yeah, what you guys do at the church is, you know, it's cute, but let the real people, let the big boys handle the real business, right?
Right.
But Tony Spell says, this is an essential service that we hold. We provide counseling for those that are about ready to commit suicide. That's a security risk. We are helping those that are going through life changes and could become very dangerous individuals in this society. That's a security risk. We're providing the need that those people have when they're losing their jobs, they're losing their marriages, they're losing their families, and this hardship. Because, you know, finances can cause so many problems in marriages, and then add on to that, they're having to share the same house for hour after hour because nobody's allowed to go anywhere. This is a recipe for domestic violence. This is a recipe for explosions taking place in certain families. Yeah. That can be extremely dangerous. And their spiritual needs have to be met. And so Tony makes an argument and says, you know, you're going to shut us down, but you're going to allow Planned Parenthood, which kills babies every day, to remain open.
Yep.
They're not providing an essential service at all. And they're not being closed down. I'm sorry, but my conviction will not, we will take all of the necessary precautions. We will do everything that we need to do to keep our people safe, especially those that are more susceptible to the disease and could die from the disease. We'll take all of the necessary precautions needed, but it is not possible for us to shut our doors. So the police were sent by the governor to be able to shut him down. And then the governor, John Bel Edwards, said that if he did not cease and desist with his church services, that he would send in the National Guard. The National Guard came out and said, well, you know, we haven't really been contacted, blah, 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 blah. What I heard was the top officer for the National Guard in Louisiana basically said, yeah, over my dead body, will we be sending in troops to shut down a church?
Amen.
amen. So I'm going to be doing a podcast with Pastor Mark, who's in California, where the order has been given for all churches to shut down. And so he's been meeting in fellowships in defiance of the church, which raises a very good question. Dude, okay, we understand you want to meet, but this is a security risk. People are at risk for their health. We need to stop this disease from spreading. And the only way we can do that is for everybody to go in quarantine for 2 weeks. Okay. Understand. But brother, I mean, I know that you probably identify with this. I'm in Sweden right now. My wife and I went to a church service. It's not our cup of tea. It's a local state Lutheran church, which they have the faith to stay open, which I think is pretty funny that we always consider them be, you know, dead in faith, but yet they're not even talking about closing right now with the coronavirus. My wife and I went there because it is as essential for us to be in the house of God as it is to breathe air.
Yeah.
Like it is an essential part of who we are as believers. to be with other believers and learning from God's word, hearing his word spoken, and entering into worship. Can I do that in my house? Absolutely. I should anyway. But I believe there could be, I'm not saying that there is, I'm not saying that churches that are shut down are somehow, you know, colluding with the enemy, but there could be an extension to this coronavirus. How long do we stay closed at our churches? 4 weeks? 6 weeks? 3 months? Half a year? 1 year? How long is acceptable?
Right.
Do we really? Then the question becomes, do we even need to meet in fellowship? Can we do it online?
Are we relevant at all is really the question it's getting down to.
Yeah, absolutely. If people are scared, if they're afraid, isn't that the time when we're supposed to be the light of Christ the most? Isn't that when people are uncertain about their future, when people feel that there is a certain level of uncertainty when people are uncertain about their future and they're scared, isn't that when the gospel message is needed the most? And I don't know, like, how dare we turn away those that need God's comfort when we have it ourselves?
Yeah. And for goodness sake, we say Jesus is alive. I mean, it's almost Easter, and it's the same Jesus who raised people from the dead, gave sight to the blind, healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And if he can't heal us, what are we doing being Christians?
Yeah, I come back to the way that the gospel has been preached for so long in the Western church. I'm giving it a broad stroke, okay? I'm not condemning churches in the West. Be far from me. I fail so many times in my understanding and my delivery of God's word. But I'm talking generically here. How many sermons have we heard in the Western church over the years where everything becomes a metaphor, where we don't even know if the healings are real anymore, because the healings are not being taught as healings. They're being taught as some sort of allegorical message, something that is metaphorically enlightening, but it's not real. How many, you know, I see so many like news anchors whenever a big disaster happens and they bring on a pastor and they'll say something like, you know, Jonah and the whale, for instance. You don't believe that, right? I mean, these are just messages that you can use, stories to kind of teach a good lesson. And that is as far as it goes. That is the extent of their potency. They're not a relevant message in the way that they really happened. But no, historically, the healings really did happen, like you were talking about. This is not just for us to, you know, compare it to something in our lives that can, you know, motivate us for the time being. These were real healings. These were real miracles. Jesus really performed these healings and miracles, and he said, greater things will we do as he goes to the Father on our behalf.
Amen. Well, Eugene, I have things to do. I have actions to take.
I have nothing to do. I am loving our conversation, but I know that you have a lunch. You told me that you had a lunch date prior to this, so you are obviously not keeping the social distancing or the lockdown too seriously.
And that's right. And this conversation's been very therapeutic to me. what your pastor friend is saying there, Pastor Mark, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, just that really hits home. The reason I'm meeting is with this young man is because he just became a father and he's not married and he wants to be there for his dad and he doesn't know Jesus. And do we want another child raised without his dad? Now is not the time. You know, this is too important, you know.
Yeah.
And
good.
So I've got work to do. I appreciate you, brother. And I look forward to talking again and comparing notes.
Yes, absolutely. Love talking to you. God bless you. And I will be praying for your meeting.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How can he say it to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow, They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, and the upright will behold his face. So I did want to mention about the government's approach to the church. One thing I've learned since recording this is that churches are listed as essential in the government mandates. They only limit it to 10 people. So when I learned that, one of the things that I thought of is this actually comes back on us. Now, I do think vigilance is required here because I think that probably most people are well-meaning by this. Like, this is about public health. This is about public safety. But at the same time, there are plenty of people who would like to shut down the church completely. And you may think that that's conspiracy theory. That's fine. You're free to think that. You know, I'm just sharing my own thoughts and anxieties over this issue. But we are listed as essential along with Planned Parenthood in some states and along with alcohol stores. For some reason, those are considered essential as well. Strange times. Anyway, we are allowed to meet in groups of 10 for religious purposes. Why aren't we doing it? I don't know. Maybe people are doing it in your community, but in my community, we are still doing it in different places. But the official church that I've been part of has not been doing it. Not that they don't allow me to do it, and I've started to try that. I'm trying to get groups of 10 people. We'll follow the guidelines, stay 6 feet apart or whatever, but we want to get together and pray. But I'm also finding hesitancy there for various reasons. But the question is, are we locked into this idea that church is has to look like it's always looked? Or can we get outside of our American box and realize that the church meets this way across the world and it could possibly be a much better model of church because groups of 10 are much more apt to being discipleship houses. You know, when you have a small group like that, you can really get into people's lives. You can answer deep questions. You can pursue deep emotional issues that people need healing, where people need healing, and you know, you can pray over them. It's a much more intimate setting. So this could possibly be a really good thing. And if you are a leader, you know, God has created some people to be natural leaders in the sense of instigators who say, hey, let's make this happen. Then maybe what God would like you to do right now is to be one of the people who makes this meeting happen. There are people who need ministry, and it's time to act. But I would also like to say that there's still the need to gather corporately in large groups of bodies. We need that encouragement, and we don't know how long this thing is going to go, and I think we will all have to wrestle that through that with our own consciences. My hope is that this is going to be short, that there's something's going to happen. There's going to be a breakthrough. That's what I'm praying for. Some kind of medical breakthrough, some kind of just evaporation of this virus, maybe when the weather turns nice, however God would like to do it. My prayer is that he would do it soon. But we need to also be considering the future. Like, what if this goes on for a year? Will we be willing to not meet in more than groups of 10 with 6 feet apart and not allowed to touch each other for that long? Is that even healthy? These are questions we'll have to wrestle with. But the good news today is that Jesus is Lord. He is with us. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And he is our healer. And my prayer for you today is that you will remember that, you will act on it, and that you will walk in faith, that nothing will happen to you outside of what God allows. And if we are walking in obedience to him, we can rest in that anything he allows, he also has a purpose for, and we can trust him there. We can live in that peace. And I pray that you will have that peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from knowing you are infinitely loved by God, and that will never change. The only thing that changes is our willingness to trust in that love. And I pray that you will have the peace that comes from trusting in that love today. Thank you for being a listener to our podcast. I'm excited about more important and interesting conversations, as well as testimonies that are going to be coming out in the coming weeks. Also would love to hear from you. If you have a testimony you would like to share, you can reach me through our contact link below today's show notes on our website, thegospelforplanetearth.com. And also you can email me at carlgessler@gmail.com, which is just Carl with a K. I think it's actually easier probably to visit thegospelforplanetearth.com. No numbers, all letters, thegospelforplanetearth.com. And all the links you need are below today's show. Also, if you would take a minute to rate and review the podcast, share it with a friend who will be encouraged by it, I would be encouraged by both of those things, and it will help more people find the podcast and find hope. Thanks for listening. Look forward to being with you next week. Till then, may the joy of the Lord be your strength.